we come together and we read scriptures at 6 o'clock in the morning. Just because I just want it to stick with us, what I'm going to say. How many knows there's always been gold? There's always been girls. There's always been men wanting glory. Is that a new thing? No. How old is it? From the beginning. Will it be here tomorrow? Was it here yesterday? It's always been that way. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. I'm going to read verse 9 and 10. The preacher writes, "That which has been is that which will be. And that which has been done is that which will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun." Let's all say that together. There is nothing new under the sun. One more time. There is nothing new under the sun. Verse 10. "Is there anything of which one might say, 'See this? It is new.' Already it has existed for ages, which were before us." What the devil is trying to work on the body of Christ today is telling you that these preachers are doing something that's never been done before. And because of what they're doing, then the body of Christ is going to fall and the church is going to fail. How many know that's a lie? It happened, it's happening, and it will continue to happen. The church happened, it's happening, and the church will continue to happen. I don't care what any preacher does anywhere about anything. He says, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Hallelujah. Amen? And I want you to know this, that this is not a new thing. But what the media wants you to hear and what the devil wants you to hear is, "Well, I'm not going to give any more money, or I'm not going to go, or I'm not going to attend, or I'm not going to," because they're all the same. No, they're not all the same. He says, "In my house there are vessels of honor and there are vessels of dishonor. And he makes them both." Well, look at a couple of preachers. Look with me in 1 Samuel chapter 1, chapter 2. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. As I started looking at this, how many remember who Nadab and Abihu is? Remember, that's Aaron's sons. Aaron's sons. The Lord God brought them out of Egypt. They went through the Red Sea. They wandered around the wilderness all that time. And he appointed Moses and Aaron. Now, that's a kind of a king-priest ministry. Moses was younger than Aaron, but Aaron submitted to Moses because that was where the anointing was. And so there was that submission. And Aaron was the priest. And Aaron had sons. And the two oldest ones was named Nadab and Abihu. And I think it's the 10th chapter of the book of Leviticus. Something happened. They went in, and the Bible really is not real clear on what they did. But God wasn't very pleased with it. Now, this was the second generation of priesthood. There was Aaron, and then there was these guys. And the very second generation of priesthood, God judged. Boom. He consumed them with fire. And I believe that sets a precedent for us and tells us something that we need to know today. God will judge the ministry. And He will consume them with fire. And if you want to know what's happening today, that's what's happening. They have offered some strange fire, and when you offer strange fire, you're going to be consumed. And that's what's happening. So understand that from the beginning, it's always been this way. From the beginning of preachers, the very second generation of preachers was judged of God. So I look back in my Thompson Chain Reference Bible, which gives you the dates and the times of all this stuff, and this happened like 1490 B.C. That was 3,481 years ago. Nearly four millennia ago, we had bad preachers. Barring the Lord's coming, four millennia from now, we'll still have bad preachers. There is nothing new under the sun. You can't say, "Oh, look at this. Isn't this something?" Can't do it, because He says it's always been done in ages past. So this is what I want to project to us today, is let you know, listen, the devil's doing a number on the body of Christ right now. And what you're being told and what you're hearing is true, but it's not the truth that you really need to understand and really need to hear. 1 Samuel chapter 2 talks about a priesthood. God has brought his people across the Jordan. They have conquered the land of Canaan. They have established a tabernacle of Moses at Shiloh. Eli is now the high priest, and he has sons named Hophni and Phinehas. Bad preachers. Now Eli, from what we understand, is a good moral person, a good priest. He's the one that Hannah prayed with, and she conceived. But he has these sons, and these are priests, and these are preachers. They're Eli's sons, and they're bad preachers. And here they are in chapter 2, verse 12. Verse 12, I'm going to read verses 12 through 17. Then I'm going to read verses 22 through 25. Verses 29, down and around in here some. And then finally over in chapter 4. I'm going to read a lot of verses, and then we'll talk about it. Verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. If you have a King James Bible, it says Belial. They were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. Now what we got is preachers that do not know the Lord. And the custom of the priest were with the people. When any man was offering a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come while the meat was boiling with a three-pronged fork in his hand. And he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. Thus they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites. They didn't look, notice who they did it to. They did it to the Israelites who came there. Also before they burned the fat, the priest's servants would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, give the priest meat for roasting, as he will not take boiled meat from you, only raw. If the man said to him, they must surely burn the fat first and then take as much as you desire, then he would say, no, but you shall give it to me now. And if not, I'll take it by force. Thus the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, and the men despised the offering of the Lord. Verse 22. Now Eli was very old, and he heard all that his sons were doing to all Israel. And now they lay with the women who served at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And he said to them, why do you do such things? The evil things that I hear from all these people. No, my sons, for the report is not good, which I hear the Lord's people circulating. How many of you are hearing reports being circulated now among the Lord's people? See? That's right. We're right. There's nothing new, folks. It's right here. If one man sins against another, God will mediate. But if a man sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him? But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for the Lord desired to put them to death. Verse 29. What's happening now is the man of God comes, prophet comes to Eli, gives the word of God to Eli. Verse 29. The Lord speaking to Eli says, why do you kick at my sacrifices and not my and at my offerings which I have commanded in my dwelling, and honor your sons above me? And this is what he was doing: by making yourselves fat with the choicest of every offering of my people. Therefore, or because of this, because you're picking and making yourself fat, therefore the Lord God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever, but now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me I will lightly esteem. Behold, the days are coming when I will break your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. Verse 34, and this will be the sign to you, which shall come concerning your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. On the same day, both of them shall die. But I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and in my soul, and I will build him an enduring house, and he will walk before my anointed always. Are all preachers the same? No. There are those Hophni and Phinehas. But there's also the priest that the Lord raises up that do all that he has for us to do in his heart. Chapter 4, verse 3, or part of it, just want to show you, this is what happened. Israel, or the Philistines came against Israel. Israel lost the battle. 4,000 men died. And then in verse 3, when the people came into the camp, this was after the battle, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines?" I want you to say that with me. Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Now, Philistines, let me just kind of project this to you in a current day way. The Philistines would be the media, the world. And what it appears is that the people of God are being defeated by the Philistines. We're really not being defeated by the Philistines. If anything is defeating us, it's the Lord. The Lord was defeated. No Philistine can defeat the church. He says, "I'll build my church and no Philistine will come against its gates." So what's happening is the Lord is doing some things in his church. The Lord does things in his people. And I want to talk about these verses. Just go through them quickly. We've read them. The word Belial means worthless. These guys were children of ministry, father ministry. But they were worthless. Then it says that they knew not the Lord. They didn't know the Lord. Do you know that there are preachers that really don't know the Lord? Now this is nothing new. This has always been this way. They just didn't know the Lord. Now they can be called a priest, but still not know Him. They can be called a pastor. They can be called an evangelist. They can be called these things, but really not know the Lord. And then it says that their custom was this, that they would take their fork and run it down, their flesh hook, and get it in their pots and pull up all that they could. And what we allow to happen is for our pastors and our preachers to get into customs, traditions, rather than adhering to what the Word of God says. If we knew what the Word of God says, folks, these guys wouldn't be in business. Go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Where is the first place that we're to go? Where is the first place that we send our monies? Your city. The place that God has put you. Then go to Jerusalem. Then to Judea, the reaching out around you. Then to Samaria, a little bit further. And then finally, didn't say nothing about giving money to the evangelists. Did it? Or did I miss something? And I'm not condemning them, and I want to make sure that I emphasize. I'm just saying the people of God need to get out of customs and get back into the Word of God, and we won't be making these mistakes. Bring your tithes and your offerings into the storehouse, the place where you're being fed, the place that has a vision, the place that God's put you. That was their custom. And He came while they were seething the meat. And that word seething means to boil it, means to get ripe, it means to get done. Ministries, Hophni Phineas Ministries, take advantage of people when they're seething, when they're boiling, when they're ripe to be done. They fork them when they're in a bad place. Homes being destroyed, your finances are a mess, our children are in rebellion, and they promise us that if we'll just send them the money, that God will fix it. They pick us. They get us when we're seething. They get us when we're boiling. They get us when we're ripe. And us wanting those things to be so fixed, and we want a quick fix. We want instant grips because we live in America. We want to go to McDonald's and get a quickie. Because we're that way, then we send them their money. And nothing happens, of course. And then the next thing you know, this stuff comes on television. It makes the whole body of Christ look ignorant. They use flesh hooks. They fork the people. And they took the people, they forked the people at Shiloh. The thing that amazed me here is that at the very place that you don't think you're going to get forked is where you get forked at. At the place that you think that you're going to be blessed, you get a forking. And they wanted the raw flesh. That speaks of carnality. That speaks of the carnal nature. They didn't want it cooked. They didn't want it meat. They didn't want the meat heated. They didn't want to go through the fires. it takes to really cook. They wanted it raw. And the tip-off to me about the Hophni and Phinehas ministry is it's now. You give it to me now. They manipulated with pressure. When you're being manipulated by these kinds of things, the pressure is to do it right now. If you don't do it now, you're going to miss your blessing. If you don't do it just this way, if you don't do it now, give it to me before you give it to God where He says to give it. Give it to me before you give it to your local church or your local area or before it goes into ministry to your city. You feel a force, a compelling, a manipulation. And it's not comfortable, but you do it. Pictures of the little children, skin and bones, is sad. And it breaks your heart, it breaks mine. They live in Africa. God's got churches in Africa, folks. Hear me. It's the churches in Africa's first responsibility to minister to those skinny children. To bring the blessings of God there. And there's nothing wrong with doing this. I want you to please hear me correctly. But when that's done to manipulate you, that's a Hophni and that's a Phinehas ministry. Some of the things that were said forked me on Thursday night. It just forked me. If I had to describe how I felt forked. I mean, they would take in $80 million, tell you it was going to some place in Haiti, and not a penny of it got to Haiti. Forked people. Tell you they got 3,500 kids. Don't have any. That's why the Bible says, know them that labor among you. Know what's going on. Be in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the uttermost parts of the earth. Said that they abhorred, they despised the Lord's offerings. There's no respect. No respect for the things of God. Hophni and Phinehas. 1 Samuel 22 through 25 talks about how they were immoral. Now Eli seems to be moral. He seems to be a very moral man. But his sons like girls. Like the gold, they like the girls. And even though he came to him and he told him what was circulating in the body of Christ, it would not stop. How many of you think that these guys have been told what's circulating, what's been told, what's happening? The Lord always warns you first before He uncovers it. Always. He circulates that thing and He says, you know, if you don't stop this, God's going to do something. Oh, no. The Lord didn't stop it. The Lord kept doing it, kept letting them do it. They kept on. There's a reason that the Bible tells us there in that passage of 22 through 25. And it says this in the King James Bible, because the Lord would slay them. NASV Bible says, because the Lord desired to put them to death. Folks, I want you to know that it's not for you and me to judge Hophni and Phinehas or Nadab and Abihu or anybody else. The Lord will do it. He always has. It was that way then, that way now. It's going to be that way tomorrow. In fact, it even says there, don't even intercede for them. You can't even intercede for these. Because if a person sins against another person, he says, the Lord will entreat for you. But he says, but when you sin against God, no man can intercede. And then in the passage of chapter 229 through 31, and then in 4 and 3, they came back to the camp. They wanted to know why. Why had the Lord defeated them? Not why the Philistines had defeated them. They knew that the Lord had Ichabod them. Ichabod means the glory is gone. They knew that His glory was not there. Oh, they brought the ark there. They went through the motions. They brought it out there, and Hophni and Phinehas was out there, and they were shouting, and they had the trumpets, and they were real charismatics, Dr. Cash. But the Philistines won the battle. Came back and told the wives, the kids were dead. Eli fell off, broke his neck. And they wrote Ichabod. Named the next kid Ichabod. The glory has departed. Now, the reason that happened was back in chapter 2, verse 29 through 31. It was simply because they hooked the people that the ministry wanted offerings more than they wanted the Lord. He says that because you want my offerings, you want the offerings, because you're getting fat. That's why the Lord did it. So why are God's people maybe sometimes defeated today? Why does it seem that the Philistines win? Why does the Lord let us go through these times of battle and seemingly defeat. Tonight we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I really want us to be praying over these next couple of weeks as we do 1 Corinthians, because I want the Lord to really release something in our body. We're 11, 12, 13, and 14 is releasing of the gifts, explanation of the gifts. How many of you believe that we can have the power without the gifts? Do you think that we can have power without gifts? It's not in the Bible. The gifts come and the power comes. They work side by side. We need power. We need the gifts. We want a powerful church. We've got to have gifts. I get amazed. We have time of ministry, and we want to come to the church where the gifts and power of God flows, but nobody functions in the gifts. So we've got to release it in our church. We've got to release it in our midst. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he begins talking about the table of the Lord. And in verse, I think it's 19, he says this. He says, divisions must surely be among you, so that those who are approved can be seen. The word approved means those that glow, those that are illuminated can be seen. Why does God have good preachers and bad preachers? So that the good preachers can really finally be seen. And he'll take care of the bad. He'll do it. He hasn't missed one yet. Am I right? He hasn't missed one yet. And he's not going to start today. The Lord uncovers them. And the Lord will show what they really are. These things must be. They must be. What do we do? Well, here's what we do. Number one, we watch God remove His glory from these ministries. Would you say that's kind of what's happening? As He uncovers them, would you say that He's removing His anointing? He's removing a covering. He's removing a glory from them that they may have had, but now the glory is departing? Would you say that? I would. That's what I'd say is happening. Ichabod. It's the first thing that happens. The glory departs. The Philistines come in. Number two, don't judge them. Number one is watch God. Number two is watch what you say. It will circulate. It always circulates. But watch what you say. Because by the measure that we judge others, we will be judged by that same measure. And if I began to criticize this and criticize specific ministries, then what the Bible promises me is that I will be judged by that same judgment. Which means then that I will get into that trap. I will get into that gold, girls, and glory trap. Because He can't judge me for that same thing unless I'm in that so He can judge me. And I don't want to get in that. And you don't want me to get in that. Right? So watch. Number one, the Lord. Number two, watch. And don't judge. Watch what you say. Number three, watch your ministry. I want to close with 1 Thessalonians 5. And then I want to show you the way that we function a little bit here. And I think that when you leave, that I do this about once a year. I just share with you the way that our government functions on financial matters. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. Number one, is watch God remove His glory. Number two is watch what you say. And number three is watch your ministry. Know them that labor among you. Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, verse 12. But we request you, brethren, that you appreciate, King James Bible says no, those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. Know them. Appreciate them who diligently, and I see some key thoughts here. First of all, diligently, those who try to do it right. Now, let me tell you something. We don't do everything right, but we try to do it right. And if we find out that we're not doing it right, we change. And he says, then know them. I like that in the King James Version. Know them. Get something. Know them. Know what they're about. Know their vision. Know what they're going to do. Know where they're going. Know them. But the main thought there is among you. Among you. Not those that are far off in another place, in another city. No, those that are among you. That's the key thought. The key thought is knowing those that are among you. That diligently try to do it righteously or right. I want to just share this with you. You need to know our government. You need to know the way we function. You need to know those that really do diligently try to do things here. You need to know who your elders are, who your deacons are here. You need to know the vision. You need to know a little bit how we do financial reports and financial things. And this is one. Every month, we do this. Every month, the elders of this house come together at some place, and usually it's at my house, and we go through all the financial matters. And I explain to these men where every penny has gone. We come in, we have minutes. We have minutes that record every meeting. We have minutes that discuss what we are discussing. Some of you are in our minutes. There's a breakdown of not just miscellaneous things, but of the monthly obligations of the things that we pay every month, of insurance, of building expenses. It's a breakdown, and we do this every month. You know that you can hide a whole lot of things in miscellaneous. You know, label it miscellaneous and stick it there, and nobody will ever know what it was. It was just miscellaneous. Well, what was it? Well, it was just miscellaneous. But we don't do that. It's everything under the miscellaneous category is categorized right here, where everything went, and a description, if necessary, of what that was. Here's one for September and October. Then there is the spreadsheet, starting with January the 1st, going through December the 31st, every month, all the way through. And this is all those listed again, what each month was outgo was, what each income was, what each monthly income was. The bottom of this is listed where we have given out money, where we gave away money. We'll come back to that in just a second. So everyone knows where every penny went. Everyone knows how much came in, how much went out, and where it went to. And we have charts and graphs. A quick look at this will just tell you if the pie is out of order. If something went someplace that it wasn't enough, or it was out of balance, something was wrong. So we have the little pie thing. It's for the month, and then it's also for the year, so that we can see at the year time how much that giving was for that particular thing, how much the pie, how much went to a particular area. Were we overspending? Were we overdoing it in a particular area? So we can adjust. And then finally, the graph here of the deposits. It's in columns, and it also has a line. So we can see how our giving is doing. This tells us a lot, because Jesus says that where a man's treasure is, there his heart is. Where his heart is, there his treasure is. And when you stop giving, we know something's wrong. And when that one starts going the wrong way, we got to look. What's going on? And we do look. But I wanted to share this with you. Our church runs on a really, really, really full house on a Diane Palmer Sunday. 200 people. Something around that. And most of you are tithers. Most of you are work from the function or from the principles of tithing. And what we do is that we now take a tenth of that giving and put it into a special account that is specifically for nothing else but to give away. Out of this goes our missions, and we do have missions, but our main mission is right here, and we know it. Our main missions is this city, and first of all, you. Then we know that our city needs ministering to, and that we help people that don't even come here. So far this year, 10 months, we've just given away So far this year, we've given away $14,089 out of this little church. That's an average of $1,409 a month. The month of September, we gave out $2,777. In the month of October, we gave out $2,811, over $5,000 in 2 months. I was at a meeting the other day, and the way the meeting kind of went was to kind of pick on the church a little bit. Not just this church, it was mentioned, but not just this church. It was kind of saying that the church isn't doing anything. I disagreed. I vocally disagreed. How many of us have given $5,000 these last 2 months just to give it away, minister to people, help them get their electricity turned on, the lights turned on, the telephone hooked up, get the bills paid,
How many of us have been able to do that? See, that's what the body's for, folks. We come together and we are able then to do what God really calls us to do. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. $14,000 in 10 months' time. You should be proud of that. That's what happens here. And I just share this about once a year just to let you know there are Hophni's and Phinehas's, Nadab's and Abihu's. There always has been. There are today and there always will be. If you do it biblically, your money will go into good ground and it will minister and help people. Amen? You enjoy that? How many know now that number one, okay, sure, go ahead. I just wanted to recap and get done. Sure, go ahead. I know you got to go to funeral.
This right here. Let me tell you what we need to do. You don't need to do that.
It'll get to them.
Need to do is you need to come to the elders and you need to say, I know that such and such person has need. And I can assure you that that need will be met. Now there, some of you may be thinking, well, you've given away $5,000 in 2 months, so what? I know people in our midst that have needs. Folks, we're not seers. We don't know all the things that you know. Some folks will share with you that won't share with us, and I don't know why. But if they share with you that they have need, you come to the leadership of the church. Don't feel like you must earmark your tithe for that person. It'll be taken care of if we know about it. But we got to know about it.
Yeah. And I could call names and give examples, but I'm not going to embarrass anyone. There are people right now in this very room, right this very minute, that we've helped. And we don't need to tell what everything's, you know, why embarrass the people? Man, we want to love them. We don't want to embarrass them. So we help them, and we want to bless them. Number one, watch God remove His glory. Number two, watch what we say, and don't criticize these ministries. Though we don't agree with them, though we don't think they're right, don't criticize them, because we'll be judged. And we don't need that here. Number three, watch me. Watch this eldership. Watch this ministry. Number four, watch where your offerings are going. Know that God has a Jerusalem for you, a Judea and a Samaria, and your giving should be right in correspondence with that. I wanted to share this with you. It was heavy on my heart the next day. I felt forked. And I knew that you did. And I feel like the body of Christ does. But I want you to know, folks, the devil's trying to do a number on the church. And if he can get people stop giving, then we can't function. We have a church. I make $450 a week. They provide me with a nice house and a nice car. But that's my salary. My son lives with me. He makes $350 a week. $300 a week. Okay, maybe that's prophetic, Lance. Maybe we're going to... All right. He makes $300 a week, but he lives with me, okay? So that's kind of taken care of. Steve makes more than both of us. He makes $500 a week. But he's got two kids. Three kids. That's not prophetic. That's a mistake. He's got three kids, and he's got a family to take care of. So we've got to make sure that that's taken care of. I'm just saying this to let you know, folks, we ain't building no big mansions on the lake here. What we're after is a school. We're after ministry. We're after doing things in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria. And then we'll reach out to the uttermost parts of the earth. Is that okay? Amen. All right, let's stand and clap our hands and praise God and thank Him for...